What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Oh, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletrowmax and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Years ago today,
we lost
Dime Bag. Rest in peace, Dime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, 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 one and all, to a another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As you can tell, Choppy's back in studio. I'm the Impact player, Mr. Philip Rhea. It's Friday night. You know what that means.
A fun-filled episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
That's right.
And we are live!
That's right, live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. Let me lower Pantera.
No, that was nice. Leave it on.
Yeah, I wish, right? Oh, I'll play it back in a little bit. All right, well, there you go. All right.
How are you, Shaylin?
Shaylin, hello everybody in the chat room. Thank you for and people listening in on a TuneIn app.
Yeah.
TuneIn. Speaking of TuneIn, so you know I switched providers to cell phone providers a couple weeks ago, right?
That's right. You did tell me that, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the coverage has been fucking awful, right?
Oh, boy.
So now I can't get no service on the boat sometimes. So I was trying to listen in on the Wizards on Tuesday and a rant on Tuesday. And I was so mad. So apparently my wife had the same problem. And she called. And she was like, oh, you know, they helped her. So I called customer service today. I'm like, listen, I'm a new customer, you know, and I'm having a problem with I'm not getting, like, I have, like, four different email accounts on the phone, including the show's email, right?
Okay.
My main email account, it takes, like, fucking forever to load. So now I'm getting, like, 40 emails at a clip.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, it's not, you know, like, one time a day I'm getting emails. So they walked me through a couple of things. They were like, oh, you know, Mr. Ray, you might want to reset your network settings. I didn't even know you could do that. What you do is you reset your network settings and you have an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just reset, like your phone will shut off and reboot. Because what happens is when your phone looks for a signal, it constantly bounces off towers.
Okay.
So apparently they still had my old address, you're in a crowded area. I'm like, I'm not in a crowded area, I moved. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. Because apparently when I signed up for the new service, I still had my old ID. So they took my address off my old, because I switched my driver's license since then, but when I had it then, I had the Decadome on it, so
of course
I didn't have the service. And hello, it's the Unsilent Majority.
Hi.
Hi,
Blair.
Hi, Cousin Jerry.
So I didn't have the Mr. Ray, you have a crowded network. I'm like, well, I need my network. I need my shit fixed. I'm not getting my emails. I'm getting like delayed text messages. You got to help me. So that was an hour on the phone today. I'm not getting back.
These are for Bree. I bought Bree a present.
Ooh. Bree's not... Wifey's not here tonight, though.
I know, but I want Choppy to take them home for her. I'd wrap them, but...
Oh, fuck that. I think I'm going to wear those tonight.
No, you can't.
You can't wear those, you fucking femme. What's wrong with you?
I would look super in them.
You would.
Take a picture and put it on the website so everybody knows what I'm talking about. Those are Bree's Christmas leggings.
Oh, Jesus stop. Christ.
No, stop.
They're
it,
from LuLaRoe.
Ooh.
They
ooh.
Have ornaments and thistles and...
Ring that bell!
All sorts of fabulous.
Oh, stop guests. It, you.
Okay,
right, you guys,
terrific.
Have a great show. I'm going to go now.
What? Thank you.
Bye.
That was great.
So, impromptu run in by the Unsilent Majority, who will be getting her podcast back, by the way.
Ooh.
I've been in her ear like the whole week.
Yeah, do it.
I know. We're trying to get her back on the air.
By the way, I loved her critique of like today's wrestling that long time ago she had done. I
mean, oh,
like,
man.
That was fantastic.
Telling you. So now I'm on the phone with T-Mobile for like an hour today. And not for nothing, nice customer service.
I'm sure they are.
But like, they were like, all right, Mr. Ray, I'm so sorry. And he kept apologizing. I'm so sorry you're having this problem. I'm so sorry you're having this problem.
Oh, just like that?
Yeah, he goes, I'm so sorry you're having this problem. This is terrible. Except he had a Filipino accent when he said it. I'm so sorry you had this problem. I'm so sorry you had this
That's
problem.
That's more Indian than Filipino.
Yeah, I can't do a Filipino accent. Told my Filipino people I apologize. I can't.
Sorry, Rob.
I can't do a Filipino accent. But this guy was definitely, he had a Filipino name too. And I felt bad. I was like, dude, and he was the nicest guy on the planet too. He was like, yeah, you know, it's a shame that you have to go through that. Like, he was like... Try to be real, like, apologetic. I'm like, dude, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. I just want my fucking email and my text messages to work, you know? So, and my, not for nothing, I got my first bill the other day, and it was like $150 cheaper than what I have for me.
That's good. That's fantastic.
It is
yeah,
fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping this reboot works. So far, so good, you know? So
okay.
Let's.
But you know what's great about T-Mobile?
Free stuff.
Free Netflix.
Well, I already have Netflix, though.
So what? It's free now.
It's the best nation in the world is donation. Every Tuesday, they give shit away.
Really?
It's called Free Tuesdays. It's an app. You open it up, and you get, like, free cooking lessons. You get, you get like, buy one, get one food. Buy one, get one gear. Yeah.
Wow, they're really taking care of their customers.
They take care of their people.
Especially,
man.
That shitty service. They have to take care of their customers.
You have a crowded network, Mr. Raya.
No,
okay,
you have
terrific.
No, you have a crowded country, my friend.
That's right. That's right.
Fucking Philippines. No, I'm just kidding.
No, no, it's not.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
No, 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 no. It's he was like the nicest guy on the planet.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was.
Good for him.
So I haven't spoke. I think I spoke to you twice this week on the phone. Everything all right? Everything good?
Except for today. You want to hear what happened today?
I do want to have. I do want to hear what happened.
Oh man! So we have Teamsters. We have a truck drivers that deliver all the props to our set. So we're the guy who was supposed to deliver all the props today. He was at the Midtown Tunnel, and what a fiasco that is.
Now Choppy knows before I moved, I was taking express bus home, and I used to tell everybody that was my hell, because the last stop in Manhattan is the Midtown Tunnel, either going, the Brooklyn Battery I take, but the Midtown Tunnel goes to Queens, the Battery Tunnel goes to Brooklyn, but the Queensbound bus, if I would go into Queens, see my family, it's the same thing, you sit in that fucking tunnel forever.
So, my man sits in traffic for like a good 40 minutes, right?
Uh-oh.
And guess who happens to be at the beginning of the tunnel? Mr. NYPD.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what happens? They're doing an inspection on all the trucks, right? And lo and behold, my man had a malfunctioning steering wheel on the truck. So what do? Hey, buddy, we're going to have to tow your truck away.
With all the gear in it.
Okay, terrific.
Wow.
So what? The truck that we were supposed to get at 1 o'clock doesn't show up until 5 o'clock.
What?
So the truck, mind you, he's coming down 6th Avenue, or 6th, or whatever it is, 6th or 7th Avenue, whatever
it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's trying to get on West 50th, and what happened was the cops have West 50th blocked off because of all the tourists.
Right, it's because it's fucking Christmas, it's gridlock day.
The guy's like, the truck driver's like, hey, I have to come through here, and they're like, nope, can't come through here. I'm like, fuck you, we need this guy to come in now. He's supposed to be here at 1. We need him now. And they're like, well, sir, we can't because then he's going to go into the radio towards Radio City. I don't give a fuck. We need this guy, like, now. We needed him at 1 o'clock. We need him now.
Uh-oh.
So, luck. And then my boss is like, dude, you got to calm down. No, fuck the cops. Fuck NYPD right now. So then my boss comes down, spoons everything over. And then eventually the guy comes in. And then, yeah, that's why I was so late today. Sorry, guys. I apologize about that. Work can really be stressful in situations like that, especially in Manhattan. That was my day.
Yeah, well, besides T-Mobile, I was just doing laundry, so I didn't have an uneventful day. But my week was busy. And I mentioned this with EMS, when seasons change, for some reason, it just becomes busy. Either people want to die or be psychiatric.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
I don't know what's going on. So
Chilling just said, damn, Choppy going off on NYPD. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They have a terrible job at this time of year. But however, if your job is, like, it's the same thing with my commute. Like, when all the protesting was going on, it was taking me 3 hours to go 20 miles.
That's bullshit. In 3 hours, you could be in Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck, man.
So, like, I would tell people, like, oh, well, they're protesting. You know, you have no right to complain. I'm like, no. Listen, I'm not complaining that you're fucking protesting. I'm complaining it's taking me 3 hours to get home from the Upper East Side to Staten Island. That's a three-hour cruise. I'm not fucking Robinson Crusoe, and I'm not Gilligan. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to fuck home. So, I mean, the bottom line was when you are immediately inconvenienced in the city, when something is blocking you from getting somewhere and you really have to be there, when I don't have to be somewhere, traffic is open, the trains are running great, the buses are fine. When you have to be somewhere, like today, like Monday, I was 30 minutes late to work. Now, this is the sixth time now I've been late in the last 20 years. This time, it was the fucking fog on the boat. The boat was docked. They couldn't see anything. It ain't my, you know what I'm saying? So now I didn't leave Staten Island until almost 9 o'clock. I have to be at work at 10.
And mind you, the weather this past week, except for today, was pretty considerably warm, if you think about it.
Well, hence why it was foggy.
Exactly.
Because when the fronts collide.
Correct.
When you hear Byron Miranda on Channel 11 News, that dude.
Yeah, dude.
Hello there, I'm Byron Miranda. But.
Break that bell. Can't even say it.
So when Byron tells me about the fucking fog. I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. I have a pinstripe suit on. I'm Byron fucking Miranda. Hello there. And he sounds like the movie phone guy.
He does.
And welcome to movie phone. If you want to sound like a douche, press one.
But yeah, the fog was pretty, like, today was super fucking cold, man. Like, I don't, what was going on today with the weather?
Well, we're getting snow tomorrow and people are freaking out.
Oh, yeah, they're already freaking out. Well,
the first major snow, the news day was great. The first major snowfall of the year. It's going to be, well, we don't know. It's going to be 2 to 4 inches, 4 to 6 inches, 4 to 8 inches, 17 inches. We don't know.
Last week, they were predicting the snowfall for the 15th, which is next Friday. So 2 weeks in advance, they're already predicting snowfall for the 15th. Fuck you and your predictions. You're not Nostradamus, all right?
Fuck that. We'll be in, what do you call it? We'll be in Midtown next Friday night.
I hope to God I'm in Manhattan next week for whatever we're doing for the show. Because it would be so much easier just to get to fucking Manhattan, the Manhattan Center, if it's possible. If not,
yeah,
fuck it.
Yeah, and then we'll figure out how we'll
well, the commuting home. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Shining Wizards, Tony. How are you, brother?
Tony's in the room.
Yes, he is. Thank God for tuning in, he says.
Good.
Yes, good.
I'm glad.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm glad. Tune in. And so, yeah, tune in got an update on, if you have the app. What's that?
Fuck the MTA.
Yeah, dude.
I agree.
Listen, and I've been blessed with this Second Avenue train, you know, like with my commute, because now I don't take a bus anymore. I take a train here to the boat to two more trains and then back again. I don't take the bus. I'll take the bus if I'm getting, like, next Thursday I'm going to see Star Wars. So next Thursday, I'm going to leave work at 6.
That's next week already?
That's next Thursday night.
Wow.
You should come, bro.
I'll try, man, but it's so hard with work.
Go get a ticket. It's like, it's 9:30. We're going to meet up with Lou and the crew over here.
I'll try, man.
You should.
I love Lou, and I love you guys, you know, but it's so hard with work, man.
I know. I did a mutual, and what's fucked up was, it's my company's Christmas party that night, so everybody wants off. My boss gave everybody off. So he was like, nah, I can't let you go home early. I'm like, what do you mean you can't let me go home? I got fucking tickets for Star Wars. What are you, high? He's like, I'm not high. I can't, you know, you, no one, if I let you go home, nobody else can work. I'm like, so my homegirl was like, yo, I'll do the mutual with you. I'll work your 10 to 8. You work my 8 to 6. I'm like, thank you. But you're going to the Christmas party. She's like, I'll only be an hour late to the Christmas party. I don't give a fuck. It's down the block. I was like, all right. I just want to see fucking. You're not coming to the Christmas party? No. Can I have your ticket? You can have my ticket because I want to see motherfucking Star Wars.
There you go.
I don't want to hang out with you motherfuckers after work. I want to go see fucking Star Wars.
I want to hang out with Luke Skywalker.
I want to see his lightsaber.
Ooh, if you will.
Ooh, I want to see some clones, if you will. No.
Shailene just said, I was freezing my tits off Christmas shopping today. And now I have to deal with the snow as I work the evening shift. Oh, joy.
Put a fucking jacket on, Shailene.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, don't freeze your tits off.
I was actually outside short sleeve today for no fucking reason. Oh, actually, it was because of the truck. That's why.
The truck, yeah.
I was so heated already as it is.
Yeah, so, you know, but the MTA, man, with these, they're doing, like, renovations on certain lines. And, you know, if you don't live locally or you don't commute locally like we do, like Tony does, like a bunch of us do, like, it's a pain in the ass. I've been blessed since that new that Second Avenue line. But once in a while, I'm stuck waiting for these trains. But now they're closing, like, they're doing, like, a major overhaul on, like, the L line. For people who don't know, we have letters and numbers for trains. We have
Correct.
The A, the B, the L, the M, the N, whatever. The 1, the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7, the 9. Not the 9 anymore, but the 7.
The 9's gone.
Yeah, the 9's gone.
Yeah.
It was on the 1 and 2 line. So the L line goes from Canarsie to 8th Avenue downtown, 14th Street. That's the train I grew up on. They're closing that train.
Like, are they really?
For like a year.
Why?
Well, they're doing like a major construction.
Oh, fuck
but
me.
But people are panicking because you know the thing. From Canarsie, Brooklyn to
what are they gonna
to
do
8th
now?
Avenue. Right. Well, we'll have buses for you, but people aren't going to take a fucking bus
from Canarsie,
Brooklyn.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's insane. But, you know, they what they're doing now, too, is they're putting all these computer screens at the stations.
I saw them.
To let you know, like, what's going on. And now you can use your phone down there, which is pretty cool, you know. But since I had T-Mobile, I couldn't get any fucking reception anyway. Hopefully that.
Wow, the L train's gonna close for a year. Good fucking god! What is? Oh, Shining Wizard Tony was saying that he couldn't listen to Ran EM on his work computer, so now they blocked all the sides, throwbacks, wizards, the whole thing.
Oh man!
Fucking savages!
No, oh man, that's awful.
Yeah, dude.
No, I listen to the wizards for like an hour before I leave work on Tuesdays. I leave at 8 o'clock, so the wizards go on at 7.
Yep.
So I, you know, by the time I leave, and then by the time I get downstairs to, you know, to then I have to walk like a 3-block walk to the train. So by the time I get to the boat, it's already 9 o'clock. So I miss an hour of the show. I have to fucking, you know, download it or whatever. It is what it is. But they had Justin Credible on this past week. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He resurfaced from wherever fucking rock he came out from under. But God bless, he's all right. You know.
You know who? I was listening, which podcast I started listening to this week was Edge and Christian's podcast.
Yeah, they had Ziggles on.
They had Ziggles. I heard the one with Ziggles. I heard the one with Jericho.
I heard the one with Jericho.
The one with Jericho was fantastic because he said that he was supposed to get the Universal title from Kevin Owens last year, and they switched the plans around. I was like, wow, I was floored by that statement. That's crazy.
Ziggles is on his way out.
Yeah,
you want to get into it? Or?
Yeah, let's get into that. I like Ziggler, but he's not doing. He can't do anything right now. I think comedy is going to be his next route in his career because he's a talented motherfucker.
He pretty much put WWE on blast.
He did big time,
and was like, "I'm not being utilized," and blah blah blah.
And he said all these things because he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Right. So I wasn't floored by his comments.
Not at all, because it's obvious.
No. I wasn't floored by his comments. He's just, like, at this point when they, you know, they, basically 2 years ago he was going to leave. And then he re-signed.
Because they promised him
They promised him the fucking world and never gave it to him. And I, you know what? I could see why they did that. He's a good hand. Right? And
you don't want to be labeled a good hand, though.
But, dude, that's, listen, and now you have to think about this for a second. How many guys back in the day, and I'm a little older than you, but there's guys that wrestled back in the day that was so good they could not get past the mid-card.
Tito Santana, perfect example.
Exactly. There's I can name 5 or 10 guys like that.
Don Morocco.
Morocco.
Why isn't Morocco talked about anymore?
Well, listen. We did podcasts about Don Morocco, and we'll continue to do podcasts. He was one of the greatest IC champs of all time.
I agree.
The problem with him was, at that time, there was guys, the boom started, 83, 84, 85, McMahon started fucking cherry picking, he grabbed Valentine, he grabbed JYD, and all of a sudden, that small little island that Vince had became a fucking, you know, a grand ballroom of fucking mid-card guys from the Mid-South and NWA and Georgia. And
I really love this feud with Morocco and Ricky Steamboat. Oh my god,
dude! I went to all those feud. I told you about the karate match.
I remember that.
When fucking Fuji took the gi, the belt, and fucking strangled Ricky Steamboat. When my mom almost jumped the rail and fucking almost got arrested for trying to save Steamboat's life.
I'm truly jealous that you got to witness that live.
No, I'm not. My mom embarrassed me.
So what? Your mom's awesome. I love her.
My mom's a fucking savage.
Love her.
But yeah, she almost got arrested. That was fun. Trying to save Ricky Steamboat's life.
Going back to the original topic.
Right, but there's a bunch of guys that, you know, that were, oh, you're a good hand. You know, but, you know, Piper had that label in Mid-Atlantic.
He was a good hand in Mid-Atlantic.
But that's the thing, though. Like, they didn't put, he could have been a world champion. He had the charisma. He was over.
I think he should have been WWF champion, like, the moment. Like, the first year he was there.
Fucking Paul Orndorff.
Orndorff should have been champion.
Rick Rude. Like, I can go on and on and on and on. Like, guys that were fucking mid-card guys that could have been world champion, you know? Kurt Hennig could have been world champion.
He was in AWA.
Well, but a lot of guys. So, Rick Rude was international champion, too. A lot of guys were champion. He was world-class champion, too. Georgia, I believe. But there were guys, like, you know, I don't know.
I think that with Ziggler, remember what happened with Christian back in 2005 when that was their go-to guy to make people look good?
Right, of course.
And Christian even said that, like, he got labeled as the go-to guy to make people elevate new guys. And that's why he left for a couple of years, came back, and then became World Heavyweight Champion. if you remember that feud he had with Randy Orton back in 2011.
Correct.
And I think that was, I think Ziggler is, that's what Ziggler needs to do. I think he should go away for like a year. A good solid year. Go do other shit. Stay away from wrestling for a year. And do what Jericho does. Come back for a couple months, leave. Come, you know, do a part-time deal. I'm sure he could do that.
Yeah, all the marks are crying on the internet. Go to Japan.
No, no,
but,
no.
But that's not a guarantee either.
Exactly. For example, like who's a gaijin that's over there right now that's trying to test out the waters with New Japan?
Michael Elgin. Well, Michael Elgin's been here for a little while.
He's been IC champ already, so that's
I guess that doesn't count. I don't know about anybody who's just got there and. You know,
I mean, like, right now, you got Davey Boy Smith Jr., who I think is fantastic.
And well, he's a tag team guy.
Tag with Lance Hoyt.
They're over. They're
great.
They've been a team for a while, though.
But, like, you don't want every fucking gaijin leaving the WWE to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I agree.
Let Ziggler do his comedy stick. You know, let him do the comedy. Stay away from wrestling. DiBiase would have been world champion. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
but agree. He was one of the best workers that wasn't a champion.
He was North American heavyweight champion for WWF. He was the tag champion, but he should have been world champion. I agree.
Yeah, but he didn't become world champion until later on in his run. Tag team champion.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a
But he's right, though. It's a crying shame. But that's the thing. They book differently, though.
Could you imagine DiBiase as the world champion and Hogan chasing him for like a year for that belt? That would have been money.
Well, can you imagine if they didn't take it off of him when Andre handed it to him?
Oh my God. He would have been the biggest fucking heel for that rest of that year. Oh my God.
I agree.
That's a shame.
I agree. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Oh my God. So many. You know what it was? Is that, you know, Hogan was the golden goose at that time period.
Yeah, they booked differently. They weren't
the NWA.
But those guys kept those. Listen, when I went to a house show, I enjoyed those mid card matches because they were good. You know, like the Orndorffs and the Studs and the Bundys and the Steamboats and you know there was so many. Santana fought almost every time I was there.
Can I ask you something? Did Orndorff ever fight Ricky Steamboat?
Probably him and Santana had a feud too.
That I know. Yes, that was great.
And there was Tito Santana, I used to see him almost every month. Like, even when he fought Moondog's spot, I didn't care. I was a huge Santana mark, because I jumped into it when he was champion. The tail end of him and Valentine, and then that's when Piper was there with Dr. D. David Schultz. Like, that's when I first started watching wrestling. But I wasn't hip to it, so I didn't know what was what. But when you start getting a little older, like not for nothing, man. Butch Reed could have been IC champion, you know.
I'm not the biggest Butch Reed fan, but he could have been IC champion.
But if you know his body of work now, I didn't know it back then.
Correct.
I didn't know about Mid-South wrestling until high school.
He was the biggest heel in Mid-South. Oh my god!
But you start piecing shit together, and you know you're like, wow, that guy could have been champion. Wow, that guy could have been champion. Wow, he could have been like.
Many guys.
Right. And it was booked differently. Whatever. It is. But the main point is, your point being is that I think Ziggles is done being the scapegoat. You know what I'm thinking? He's done with the whole...
His body of work. Look at his track record. A United States champion, 5-time Intercontinental champion, a former tag team champion with the Spirit Squad, former 2-time world heavyweight champion. He's Grand Slam champion right there.
Right.
The man is... fantastic in the ring. He's right now, if you think about it, his style is like you said, Shawn Michaels right now. And I think he needs to go away for a good year or a year and a half maybe, and just do something else. Just don't stay away from wrestling. I think you're just burnt out right now. And then that's what happened with Jericho in 2005. He was burnt out and he just wanted to get away, and that's what happened.
You know what I would do?
What's that?
I'd go to ROH.
No.
And I'll tell you why.
All right.
And I'll tell you why. They can use him in so many different ways. He could still put guys over there and still be like a Roderick Strong, or he could be like not a Mark Briscoe, but like a Jay Lethal. Like, he can be that guy, you know, if you tell a good story with him. And I'm not saying every guy should be going to New Japan or Ring of Honor. I could see his persona. in Ring of Honor. He could be like a Steve Corino type, where he's like an antagonist and he adopts a crew.
I could see him fighting Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice little match.
You know, Cody's fighting Dalton Castle, you know that.
Yeah, but I heard. But did you see that he's going to fight Jay Lethal at the next in the UK for the
right,
Ring of
yeah,
Honor?
Yeah,
Revolution Pro, I believe.
Whatever.
And Jay Lethal's just like, oh, if I win the title, the main event's going to be changed for Final Battle.
Well, we're not going to be on the air next Friday night. However, you are getting a filatorial.
Yes.
And you are going to be getting a ROH in that same filatorial. You're going to be getting an ROH
preview
of Final Battle 2017. We will be there. We'll post pictures and we'll, you know, with our fucking crew.
And mark out, as
and
always.
And mark out, as always. And we'll have a good time with the crew. You weren't here last week, but I did confirm we will be in Philadelphia for NXT TakeOver this year. So for all our friends in Philly, I'm talking to you, Midnight Jury. I'm talking to you, Surfer.
We're not talking to you, German, so fuck you.
Well, yeah, Nick German's already going to be there, but all the locals... we're calling you guys all out for some cheesesteaks.
Oh my god, I've never had a Philly cheesesteak.
I know you. So we're going to take care of you that day. So we're calling you guys out. Come hang out with us that afternoon and have a fucking bite to eat with us and hang out and take some pictures and, you know, get familiar with everybody and say hello and a hug and a handshake.
And kiss.
No, I'm not kidding.
And kissing each other.
Maybe Rage will kiss somebody.
Ooh.
You know, that's his bag.
Ooh. You know. Hey now.
Hey now.
Oh boy. Okay, so.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Yes. There you go. What else is going on right now?
I didn't watch any wrestling. You did.
I did. I was so happy when I saw the broken Matt Hardy character. Actually, woken Matt Hardy.
Woken Matt Hardy. Do you want to hear the promo? Or?
Please, please do.
All right. Let's do it.
The universe knows, but I don't think he knows.
Yeah! For millennia, my soul has wandered through space and time, but not all who wander are lost.
Matt Hardy is a fool. A charade. An illusion to mask his own failures and insecurities. Matt Hardy knows nothing of what is actually real.
I am well versed in all facets of the multiverse. I have studied at the Library of Alexandria, battled
with
alongside
Genghis Khan,
Cleopatra, held symposiums with Plato. And the great pyramid of Giza.
The
moment can be very dangerous, especially for those of you who listen.
Due to my condition, I lay dormant inside this vessel called Matthew Hardy.
Oh,
but now, thanks to the consumer of terrestrial entities, I have been. Woken!
Yes!
Last week was not Matt Hardy's breaking point. It was mine. I actually feel alive again. My heart is pumping, and there's a fire in me that is only growing stronger. But my fire will not cleanse you. My fire will not save you. My fire will make sure all of you burn.
Bray Wyatt, you left me with no choice. I sentence you to deletion.
Yes.
Booker, you care to interpret? Catch all that book?
What a pop. What a pop from the crowd.
Well, it was this time last year where they made the debut at ROH. and we were there.
Dude, how large of a reaction did Matt Hardy get on the screen when we... Oh, my God.
Considering the place was sold out, and it was sold out again next week.
Correct. I think it was, 2,000 fans. What was that?
I think that was one of you. I think that was Siri. Fucking, I hate Siri. That cunt.
That cunt.
Shut up, cunt.
But, what do you call it? Dude, I was having a debate with Nick German on the rant.
What else is new? And, let me cut you off for a second.
Yeah.
What was up with him putting your face on Bastion Booger's body?
I don't know. Maybe he likes my tits or something. Who knows? What the fuck's going on with this kid?
I was offended. I was like, that motherfucker.
It's okay. Because come take over. His ass, his grass, I'm going to walk all over his puny ass.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyway.
Enough of that Nick the Dick.
So you were having a debate with Nick the Dick.
Yes. And he was saying, he's going to get the world title. I'm like, you know what, Nick?
Who is?
Matt Hardy.
Nah.
Dude, if he gets the... it'd be great. I think it'd be fantastic. I told Nick like this. If he manages to create a lot of buzz and to also sell a lot of merch. And when I'm talking about merch, I'm talking about he has to surpass guys like Roman Reigns. And I'm just saying. Because CM Punk surpassed John Cena in sales and he got the belt.
Yeah, but they didn't put the belt on him because... He was selling T-shirts.
I know.
Unless that's what they're doing, I don't know.
What I'm saying is, if he could create enough buzz, and then also, what's he doing? Dude, Choppy's face on Bastion Booger. I'm sorry, I laughed my ass off. That's okay.
I laughed too, but I was still offended.
I mean, I'm glad you guys got some chuckles out of that.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt.
So, and then he's just like, well, you know, he was a world champion before. I was like, no, he was not. Then he posted a picture of him, of Matt Hardy, holding the silver ECW title. I was like, do not offend me with that fucking picture, because that is not a world championship, my friend. If he was... Listen, he needs to be... If he's going to win the world title, it has to be the WWE title or the Universe title. But as of right now, I don't see it happening. I can see him as IC champion.
If Bray had the title and he chased Bray...
Ooh, that would have been great.
Not to win it, but if he chased Bray... You know, have one of them haunted house matches he had with Randy Orton or like a fucking Chamber of Horrors or some shit. That would be fun.
I would love to see. I would love to see Bray Wyatt walking through the Hardy compound and Senor Benjamin pops up
with a drone
with the Vanguard One.
Here's my question though. When Jeff gets back from the shoulder bump,
Brother Nero,
is it Brother Nero?
Yes, it is. His mule.
Because anything TNA did in the last 10 years will never compete with the Broken Hardy gimmick. I would just watch that stuff on YouTube and just randomly, like, just a smile. Because that's how well done it was.
So funny.
Right. So if Vince lets them, if the WWE lets them run with it, almost to the point where they get the family involved and the drone and all, and Vanguard One
is giving full creative control to Matt Hardy.
I'm telling you, if that's the case, then and they put their own spin on it.
Oh, forget it.
It's going to be madness.
I mean, money.
It's going to be madness. They can make a WWE Network special out of the fucking Woken. They can do the Woken Matt Hardy reality show. It'd be better. Like Woke, and then what's a phase? Remy could be the Woken Diva.
Yes.
Instead of what's the name of the show? What's the name of the Total Divas? Divas? Yeah, it can be Woken Divas.
Or Totally Woken.
Totally Woken, yeah. I'm telling you, man, they could do a whole entire line of
dude.
The Hardys can get their own fucking reality show and in gimmick, and people know it's not real, but genius.
So smart.
I've been thinking about this all week. I wrote a whole script in my head. The first six episodes I wrote in my head.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, dude, you introduce Senor Benjamin and the kid and the fucking and the drone and the compound and, you know, him on the lawnmower, the kid in the ring, like, just, I'm telling you, it'd be gold.
I don't know if you've ever seen the video of him fighting the Gregory Helms, and then...
Yes!
And then he buries one of the wrestlers, and then he says, "Even the man with three H's be proud of this burial."
And not for nothing, Trips had to laugh at
that.
Oh
my god!
If first of all, if you're a sports entertainer and you're a well-known and established sports entertainer, and you're not amused by shots taken at you in gimmick.
Oh, dude.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
You're fucking lame as shit. Because if that was me, I'd be, not only would I not be offended, I would ask for it. Dude, come on, put me on blast on somebody else's TV in gimmick? Come on, that's funny. And on top of it, it's funny. It's entertaining.
What about the Expedition of Gold?
Yes.
When he went to Mexico with Conan? He was like, Conan was like, "I can't afford you guys. We'll do it for free."
So Woken Matt Hardy, it's going to steal the show. It's going to steal a couple of shows.
The matches might be okay, but the comedy, bro.
Well, listen, you know Bray Wyatt can go, okay?
Yes.
Matt Hardy is up there in age.
He's 43.
But he's an old 43. He's been bumping since he's like fucking 12.
Yeah.
So like and he put on some weight. He's not the same athletic. I mean, he can still go. Him and Bray are going to have fun. And listen, if Bray Wyatt gets a resurgence, it's because of Matt Hardy. Hands down, if this doesn't work, then Bray needs to either change his gimmick
or go away.
Like this, because it didn't work with Randy Orton, it didn't work with Finn Balor. The last couple of guys you fucked with didn't go over, and you're a good talent. You're a fine talent. If you can't get over with fucking Woken Matt Hardy, I don't want to hear about Sister Abigail. I don't want to hear about any cronies. I want straight up Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt and just that.
I want to see Bray Wyatt walking through the Hardy compound, man. That shit's going to be...
In gimmick. Upside down in the grass, you know? That's what I want, dude.
Could you imagine if he just, like, he can't beat Matt Hardy in some of those matches and he just gives up and he joins Matt
just
Hardy?
Classic. Just classic. Dude, classic. I'm telling you.
I can see it right now. Bray Wyatt walks into the house and he's like, "Brother Bray, I knew you'd come."
Playing the piano.
Oh my god.
And Rebby's big tits. Her big fake tits sitting in a chair stroking a pet or a kid. Moxel.
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 That's going to be gold, dude.
We got to make a Woken Matt Hardy soundboard.
Oh, dude. Delightful.
Delightful.
Oh, my God.
Whew. Oh, man.
I'm laughing so much and nothing's happened yet. And I can't wait.
No, it was... I didn't watch it. Like I said, all I got was... Don Tony played it.
Yes.
Right? So, I'm on my way to work the other day. On Tuesday, I was like, it happened. And it was over the internet. I was like, oh, I gotta get this clip.
Did you see the video prior to him changing? He goes on YouTube, posts a 30-second video.
No.
"Señor Benjamin, grab my coat of arms." And you see him getting his outfit on.
Yes.
Oh, my. I can't wait for
Monday. I'm sold, dude.
I can't wait for Monday.
I'm sold. Now. Raw is a little more fun to watch.
Yes, it is.
The condensed version on your Hulu.
Yes.
My Hulu. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't care. Oof. I mean, dude, just the comedy is going to be fantastic. It's going to be gold. Anyways.
Anyway, what else was going on in wrestling?
What else happened? Raw was, you know, if aside from Raw, like the, oh, base, what's going on with Sheamus right now is kind of fucked up.
Is he done?
Like, no. What's going on? He's going through rehab for spinal stenosis.
Which is what David Wright of the Mets has, and he hasn't played in two seasons.
Correct. And then also Stone Cold suffered from it, and Edge suffered from it.
Yeah, it's no joke.
So there might be a possibility, like I posted up on the rant, and it might be a possibility that he might retire because...
That sucks.
The Bar is like one of my favorite tag teams in fucking WWE right now. And if this guy goes out, I'm like, fuck, man. There goes all those great tag team matches that we had. So I don't know what's going to happen, man. I just hope that it's all rumors, but Spinal Stenosis has put Austin out and Edge out. So who knows how long Sheamus has left.
Yeah, Spinal Stenosis is probably... It depends on the severity of it. Like, it puts pressure on the spine, and it numbs all your... It can numb all of your extremities.
Keep in mind, Edge was told by his doctors that if he kept on wrestling, he would have been paralyzed.
Yeah, because Edge had a lot of damage, though.
He did. Right. Look at all the ladder matches he did.
Right, but the neck and all that. David Wright of the Mets, like, you know, he was a prolific power hitter and a third baseman, mm-hmm. playing probably the hardest position in baseball next to shortstop. So, you know, for him not to play, for him to get, like, these surgeries and these fucking rehabs, and he lost a ton of weight. Like, he's going to try again this year, but, you know.
How old is he?
He's like your age.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. So, you know, we need the captain back, you know, but, like, he can't play. Like, he tries. Like, he goes through camp, and then he gets, right before camp ends and they break for the season, he gets fucking, like, he gets numb again. It's like... At one point, you have to ask yourself, what's more important? Is it your health? Like, listen, Sheamus can walk away tomorrow and be really proud of
his... He's had a great career.
And that's because he was Triple H's boy. And he was one of those foreign guys that Triple H, one of the first ones he handpicked, and came over and made an impact. You know what I'm saying? So he'll... And he's been in some prolific matches.
John Cena.
Yeah.
Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Jericho. Yep. Daniel Bryan. I like this feud with Daniel Bryan. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
He's had some really good moments. I mean, the moment where
he won the Rumble.
He won the Rumble. He beat Daniel Bryan in 8 seconds for the World Heavyweight title.
And that was shocking. With a boot to the face.
Right away.
WrestleMania.
Yep.
Tag
team champions with Cesaro. He's had a really good career.
Yeah.
Should be proud of what he's done.
Yeah, he should be proud. So what, anything else? Did you watch SmackDown?
I saw SmackDown, and I wasn't too impressed. I mean, we're going to have a triple threat right now for the U.S. title coming up at Clash Champions, which will be Bobby Roode, Ziggler, and Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. That's going to be I think I'm going to be okay with that.
Right.
Then we're going to have the WWE title match with Jinder. My balls.
I saw Jinder's robe for the India tour.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He's fighting Triple H.
Correct.
And Triple H signed two Indian wrestlers.
He did.
A male and a female.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't pronounce the name. I don't want to offend anybody. But
what would be their names?
I don't know. I really couldn't pronounce them. I was like...
Apu Nahasa Mala Pennington?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Maybe it's Jinder Mahal 1 and Jinder Mahal 2. Who knows?
Dude.
Stop. Okay. Stop. Okay. Okay. Will you stop? Okay.
Okay.
Fuck it.
So, yeah, I saw that. And Clash Champions is coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm not too excited for it. I mean, it's not like WCW. I'm sorry.
No, you can, but you get the before and after on the rant, so that's fun. And, you know.
What else? I think that's it. I can't think of anything else that kind of stood out to me except for that. Hey guys, what do you think of the emergence of women from NXT to the
six skirts actually. Dude, I forgot that the tall chick with the knockers is Mary Dobson. The one of the chicks in Ruby Riott's crew, the tall one, the brunette.
Oh, Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
She's married to, what's his name?
That's Mary Dobson.
She's married to,
I don't care who she's married to. She's a fucking looker.
She's with, what's his name? The guy from War Machine.
Hanson and Rowe?
I think she's married to Rowe.
Well, he's a very lucky man because she's stacked. She's tall.
She's a tall woman.
She's beautiful, dude. Like looking at her, I was like, wow, she's a tall. I don't like tall broads at all. She's a looker.
And Ruby Riott is just ugly to look at.
I like Ruby Riott though. She can wrestle though.
She's all right.
All those chicks are good.
Liv Morgan, she's all right.
Liv, you know, Liv reminds me of Charlotte when Charlotte first started.
Okay.
Like I'm there, but I'm not there. Honestly, out of all those girls, Liv has the most to prove, and I think she's very talented. I think she's going to be the one that's going to, if they break up, she might be the one they push. She's that good, but she needs to be, she was Charlotte, you know what I'm saying, when Charlotte first started? Like, she was there, but she wasn't there, like this glorified gymnast, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think Liv is one of those chicks that can go. I think so, eventually.
I'm glad they put her on SmackDown and not on Raw, because her and Alexa Bliss all look almost identical.
Yeah, I want to hear. Bliss was on Sam Roberts' show. I want to download that.
I didn't hear it yet.
No, I just came out. I want to hear it.
And what do you think of Paige, Mandy Rose, and the chick, the MMA chick? I always forget her name.
Yeah, I just call the gloves.
The gloves.
I call it gloves.
Mandy Rose reminds me of Trish Stratus when she first popped.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Like, personally, I'm glad Paige got her shit together. She's talented.
She's super talented.
Right, and she was in a really bad place when she was fucking what's his nuts with Del Rio, and I'm not saying it's his fault, but when you have a lot of free time on your hands and you're bitter and you're hurt and you have social media and you're dating somebody who just a fucking, he's a sourpuss.
Turd mongler.
Yeah. Like, you know, people thought that she was not going to come back.
I didn't think she was going to come back.
Because she basically put herself out there, like showing up at TNA events, saying shit on social media. Then the fucking, the sex tapes came out with the jizz
on the belt.
Like, and you know what? They turned on it. They're like, you know what? You didn't really do anything. She didn't do anything to.
First off, those
deface the company.
Yeah, the videos and those pictures should not have been released. It's against the law now to do shit like that without the permission of the person.
I understand that. I'm saying
didn't do anything.
The stuff that she did on social media, like coming to the aid of Del Rio and, you know, that kind of thing, like. Stand by your man, get a tattoo, and they broke up because, again, he's 20 years older than her.
Correct.
And he's a fucking,
A bag of
alcoholic. And she has so much upside to her, and she's young, and she's got potential.
She's what, 24?
She's got to be barely 25. I don't even know. It doesn't matter at this point. Like, I'm just glad, like, personally. Just watching her, I'm just glad she's... And I don't like women's wrestling, you know that. I'm glad she's back. I'm glad as it... And I've been saying this for a while. And you've been pissing them on about a tag team title for women. Now you have enough women to go...
It's a lot of women now, bro.
Now you could... But the thing is, they're still not getting a lot of TV time. Now they're starting to.
Yes. By the way, I forgot to tell you about this. Another thing that's coming out. They're planning on going on the road with 205 Live.
I heard that.
What are your thoughts on that?
If they can market more guys, like, if, you know, now you got, what's his face? Kenta.
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Hideo Itami.
Itami, right. I was going to call him Otani, which is the guy who signed with the Angels today. The fucking kid from the baseball, Japanese baseball player. yeah. But no.
I heard they signed Rockstar Spud, so that's enough.
That's fine. If you're going to market guys and add more to it and make it a network thing, and I mean, listen, you already have 5 hours of programming. You have 5 live hours of programming every week. You have a whole network. Like, if you can market it properly, do it. Listen, people are pissing them on about, oh, they don't tell a story. It's all fucking Spot Monkey shit. What do you think the indies are?
What do you think early WCW Cruiserweight division was?
Mega Powers was on last week, as you all know. Thank you again to Dave.
Thank you, Mega, for
covering for Chops. And Dave made a point, and he was talking about the Young Bucks. He's like, you know, at first I was fine with it, but now I'm like, I can do without them. I could do without the whole scene of the spot monkey thing. And it made me think about that. And then with this emergence of 205, and I'm like, you know what? I think WWE is just trying to capitalize on what's already out there with and put their mark on it. And honestly, even though I'm not a big fan of it, I'm not opposed to it. If I was WWE, I would do the same thing. If I had the means to exploit guys under 220 pounds and get enough of them,
yeah,
I'm cool with it. I am. If they're going to tour and people, I would do it in a smaller venue, like what Evolve does.
Which I think is what they're doing.
What ROH does. Right, what NXT does. Do that.
I think they're trying to hit like the 1,000, 2,000 person arena, which I think is smart.
Do it in a VFW. You can.
I think that's a smart idea. Why haven't they done that yet?
And you know what? You wouldn't be missing anything. It's still WWE. It's still produced properly. It's gonna put WWE there. They're gonna put their mark on it. It doesn't matter if it's in a fucking bingo hall. No pun intended.
I wonder if they would draw though.
Yeah, of course they would. Listen. People are saying that wrestling doesn't draw anymore. To an extent, it doesn't. But if you put, a 2,000-seat fucking VFW post or a gymnasium somewhere or a college stadium, a college or a gymnasium or whatever, you know, hit up the college circuit. Do like a tour of the Atlantic Coast. Oh, we're in Duke today. We're in Charlotte today. We're at the University of fucking Tulane today. Like, you can do that. College kids will go. Local fans will go. Like, you get an influx of fans, you're going to get new fans.
Like what FTW does.
Correct.
They do fantastic business. Correct. They're going to Tampa, by the way.
They are. That's what you do. Like, and WWE is a marketing machine. They are a market, write it down. I'm telling you right now, they can market anything. It's like fucking NASCAR. NASCAR market. NASCAR has the best marketing in the world.
You think so?
I know so. Because they know how to take care of their people. They know how to advertise their drivers, their races, their fucking, like, they were the first ones to market like curtains. You know, like, you can have Jeff Gordon curtains.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now you can have, I have Mets curtains. I have Vikings curtains. They were the first ones to put, like, home decor. You want a fucking Dale Earnhardt floor mat? Yeah, rug. They were the first to do it. Now WWE has throw rugs and T-shirts. And now, you know, the specialty items and Christmas items. I have a Nakamura fucking gingerbread on my tree right now.
Do you really?
Of course I do. I have a Macho Man T-shirt on my. I have to show you that when we leave. It's just a Macho Man T-shirt ornament. But back then, you know, nobody did that but NASCAR. Like sports and sports entertainment had their T-shirts and their stuffed animals and their finger foams and posters, but that's all you got.
Yeah.
Now you can go head to toe. You can decorate your house. That's all NASCAR. WWE just capitalized on that. MLB does it. NHL does it. NFL, NBA. Major League Soccer, they all do it. They're a marketing machine. So they can put 205 out there if you book it properly. And if you put these, you could put Enzo and Otani and Rockstar Spud and who's my man? Can you handle it? Rick Swann.
Rick Swann, yeah.
Like that dude. Like him a lot. I like Cedric Alexander. You know I'm a big Cedric guy because of ROH. I like all those guys.
My favorite guy right now is Drew Gulak.
Gulak is my old...
The PowerPoint presentation is fantastic.
And Gulak is one of those guys that we followed for years, years and years, and I'm happy for those guys, you know? But I'm all about it.
I think... You know what I think happens with that whole Zoltrain thing? I think Gulak gets fed up with the whole... following Enzo thing, and then he goes after Enzo for the belt, and he gets the strap from Enzo.
And he's such a throwback.
He is.
Like, Gulak would be perfect for the show. Because he's got that mindset. When he was on The Shining Wizards, and just hear him talk a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was
And
good.
His body of work between, you know, with Chikara and you know. Evolve. Yeah. Like, it's just, you know.
He was the leader of Catch Point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. So, there's an Evolve show tomorrow, I think.
In Queens, in Corona.
Yeah, Jocka is defending the tag straps.
Yes, he is.
So, shout out to Jocka. Wish him luck tomorrow. I think that's it. I don't have any, what else? Anything
that's
else?
It.
Anything else tickling your tits?
That's it.
Let me just check the news real quick, see if we missed anything. Okay, I do have the, okay. In an event in Abu Dhabi, Triple H welcomed Nasir Al-Ruwayy. Okay. He's the first man from Kuwait. I said Indian, wasn't Indian. It was a Middle Eastern. And then he also welcomed Shadia Bessio.
Okay.
First Arab woman from the Middle East to sign with WWE.
Ooh.
So Triple H gave them both contracts. That's what I thought it was.
Good for them.
Yeah. Let's see what else is going on.
Oh, yeah. Triple H fought Roman Reigns in Abu Dhabi, I think it was.
Yeah.
For the IC title.
Yeah. Let's see. The WWE has interest possibly in Eddie Edwards and EC3. And Bobby Lashley again.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Bobby Lashley. I can give
you
it.
You love him.
I don't.
You like Bowman. Bowman loves Bobby Lashley.
All right. So before we go to break, I just want to let everybody know that you are getting a show next week, but it's not going to be me and Choppy. It'll be me doing a filatorial, and you're going to be getting a preview of Final Battle. Then the following week is our year-end Christmas
spectacular. Yeah.
I'm actually, hopefully, if it works out, I'm working on another venue for us for the show. I'll you know, during a break.
Cool.
If not, it'll be here. I'm just not prepared, as you can see. I wanted to get the room, the furniture in here for the new play, but it's not gonna be done until after New Year's. I have some new furniture picked out, and we'll be doing some remodeling and some padding in the room so we don't have the echo. There's a lot of shit going on. But if not, it'll be here. It'll be us. I'm assuming it's going to be Tony, Shining Wizard Tony, like it always is. I think Rage might even join us.
Even Jack Daniels might join us, too.
Jack Daniels definitely will be joining us. Winter Jack will be joining us.
Winter Jack.
But yeah, it'll be Starrcade 97.
Ooh.
To finish out the year.
Ooh.
And then you'll probably get a best of me and Choppy for the end of December, unless we feel like doing a show. If not, I normally take the last 2 weeks of the year off. Once in a while, if we feel up to it, we'll do it. If not, we'll just pick out some spots and we'll do like a best of. But we're getting down to the nitty gritty. But next year, we're going to be back and we're going to have some good stuff. And that's pretty much it. I have nothing else right now as per current stuff. So we'll take a quick break, I guess.
And if you're not down with that,
oh,
we got two words for you.
Yeah, eat shit. No. we'll be right back. You listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on a rant, rantemradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell. I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gobbledygookery.
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The Kings, baby. Queens' own, Run DMC.
What part of Queens were they from?
Hollis, baby.
Really?
Yeah, South Queens.
Oh, fuck my life. Look at the icon he's using right now.
Who's that?
Nick German. Look at the icon.
What? I can't see. Well, it's
like my head on Bastion Booger. He's using.
Oh,
you're
man.
A bag of dicks, motherfucker.
Wow. Wow, what a dick move.
Oh, he really is Nick the Dick.
What a dick
I
move.
I cannot wait for Philly. I'm going to beat the fuck out of you.
You sick freak!
Why do you want me like dressed like that, buddy? Really?
You're a cunt.
Yeah, seriously.
You're a cunt.
He stinks, and I don't like him.
Yeah. You stink, and I don't like it.
Oh, man.
Bonesaw is ready!
Okay, terrific.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Yeah, you are a hater, Nick German.
You know where Nick German got that picture from?
His mama?
I got it from a Negro.
Fuck it.
Anywho.
Yeah, anywho.
We are heading back to 1997.
Before that, do you have a Fuck You Wrestler of the Week or no?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes. I forgot. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Choppy's Fuck You Wrestler of the Week. And here's your host, Choppy.
Oh, yes. My Fuck You Wrestler of the Week would have to be none other than Mr. Savio Vega.
Savio Vega?
Fuck Savio Vega and the Los Barriquas, bro.
I'll get into them in a minute because that's like was it the opening match? No, it wasn't. Taka was the opening match.
No, Taka was the opening match.
But I have a complaint on them, but why Savio Vega?
Because he was the absolute drizzling shit.
I love Savio Vega.
Fuck him!
He was good in Puerto Rico.
Fuck him, fuck the Barriquas, and fuck Puerto Rico. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Whoa!
I apologize.
What the fuck, dude?
Sorry, my fellow Puerto Rican brethren. I apologize.
No, man. What's wrong with you?
Listen, my man was out of shape throughout his career.
Sabio was awesome.
No, he was not.
I'm sorry, dude.
He sucked.
I got to disagree with you.
Nope, I don't care if you disagree with me, but
his
fuck
stuff
him.
In Austin was great.
No,
his stuff as TNT in Puerto Rico was great.
Ech.
Oh, you're bugging, dude. Sabio had some classic matches. Yeah. He can go, dude.
I had a classic match in my toilet. Get out of here. Get out of here. Nick the German, I don't need your opinion, motherfucker, so shut the fuck up. Yes, seriously, Sabio. Fuck you. You're going to get a beatdown from the Takeover Club. Mark my words, motherfucker. He said Quang was the man.
Wait a second. I'm not going that far.
Whoa. That's like saying...
Jesus!
That's like saying Al Snow's... What is it? Avatar? What was his...
it was Avatar.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It was like saying Avatar was like the shit. Get out of here.
No. Savio Vega was a good... He was...
Shaylin, it's not a country. It's a commonwealth, all right? Keep that in mind.
What's wrong with you? You sick freak!
You sick freak!
She's telling me it's a country. It's a fucking commonwealth. If you're born in Puerto Rico, you are a United States citizen.
Listen, to all my Boricuas out there... The comments of Choppy do not reflect the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast.
If you're born in Puerto Rico, you're a United States citizen. It's pretty
Rant EM Radio or the Shining Wizards Network.
Nick German, shut the fuck up, all right, bitch?
Oh, man.
Lick the area between my ballsack and my anus, motherfucker.
Put that cigarette out.
Fuck it.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready, brother.
You're a cunt.
All right.
I am. Thank you. I am what I eat.
All right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right.
Yeah.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, boy.
The Armory.
What a fantastic city.
It's not.
It's really not.
No, Springfield is like nowhere. It's like the South Bronx with trees.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a shitty area.
It really is.
I used to have to go through there to go to New Hampshire with the Amtrak or Greyhound, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Springfield, Mass, December the 6th, 1997.
Sold out.
Yep, sold out. Karate Fighters presents.
Yes, Karate Fighters. Yes, ring that bell. That was great. I thought you were going to ask me what was the
No, I know you know, motherfucker.
Of course. which was Crossfire. Crossfire, you gotta be the one.
Did you have one of those games?
I did.
You would.
I was a mark. I couldn't help it.
Nah, you were a fucking 90s kid, man.
I had my Nerf gun, my Super Soakers.
We had, yo, my man Slick, now he's not my cousin, my boy Brian, we're going to see him in Florida,
mm-hmm.
right? We were younger. He went to spring break in Lauderdale, whatever it was. He came back with these Super Soakers. And like the entire summer, we did drive-bys in his mom's Oldsmobile. There was a fucking Easter, around Easter time, there was a Easter bunny guy in a suit giving out stuff on the corner of one of these fucking income tax places.
Mm-hmm.
We saturated him
with
a Super Soaker. We were kids, though. Looking back now, we were dicks about it, but... Those things were fantastic. The original Super Soakers, the first run of them, not the ones with the fucking backpack on them.
No.
With
no,
the
no.
extra cannon, the one with the big bubble with that.
Yes,
that
you bumped.
You cock it and you shoot it. Man, those things were fantastic. Yeah. So Karate Fighters presents in your house, D-Generation X.
One of my favorite factions of all time.
Yeah, and this was the beginning.
Yeah, the very, very beginning.
The very beginning of
the
DX.
They got their own theme music.
Now they got their own pay-per-view.
Their own pay-per-view.
So leading up to this was immediately following the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, man.
So the company is, I don't want to say in a transition, but the transition already had started.
Yeah.
This is when they were starting to get beat in the ratings by WCW. You could tell the change was happening. Rock. Austin, Taker, Kane, Foley, now Triple H, under the wing of Shawn Michaels, with China, Rick Rude.
No, Rube was gone.
Oh, Rube was gone.
He was out. He was already in WCW.
There were clips of him. He had left for WCW, whatever. What's going on in the chat room?
What did you guys think of WWE Released? What's that?
I don't know. Was it a video? I didn't see it.
I don't know. Shailen, elaborate.
Yeah, please. But yeah, I didn't. Is it? Oh, maybe the unreleased, the DVD set. I didn't get it yet. They recently put out a bunch of unreleased matches on a 3 DVD set.
Hey guys, it's called Daily Motion.
No, this ain't on it yet.
No. Are they sure?
No, it's on. It's on my download though. I'll get it.
It's called Cody.
I don't know, man.
Oh, WWE releasing Jim Johnston. I forgot about that.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, they talked about it. Sorry, Shailen. I mean, he's probably retiring anyways. Who cares?
I said it last week. Jim Johnston hasn't been doing regular music since 2012.
The last
CFO has been doing the music.
Yeah, the last real theme he did was The Shield, and that was it.
Yeah, so, but the guy had a job for 30 years. So God
bless
him.
He's probably retired.
And he's iconic. Jim Johnson's iconic. He
came up with the Ultimate Warrior.
He did a lot of music. Oh. He did everybody's music. Everybody's.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Get into him in a little while.
I know.
Your hosts are Jerry King Lawler and Jim Ross.
The classic.
Yeah.
Commentating team.
The opening match was for the vacant light heavyweight championship. It was a tournament.
Taka Michinoku and Brian Christopher.
So Taka is 23 at this point because now he's my age.
Holy shit, he was 23.
Yes, he
God
was.
Damn. Because
they announced it when he won the title.
Fuck.
Against Brian Christopher.
He was 24, 25 at this time.
And he had Draws and Albert's music.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Why was that?
I don't know.
Why didn't he have like his crappy theme song that he normally had?
I don't know.
Anyways, the match was good.
Yeah, that springboard plancha.
Yeah.
Christopher got cut. He got hog weighed, cut his lip, had to get stitches.
But my favorite part is when the crowd is chanting Jerry's kid throughout the whole match.
Yeah, Taka gets off 2 tornado DDTs.
Yes.
2 of them, yeah, it was good.
I wish Taka had more of a better run than what he had.
Listen, not for nothing, man. Taka had a great run between the championship was less and Tai and Kai and Tai.
He should have been tag team champions with fucking
Funaki.
Funaki. Remember when they were doing the Indie?
That choppy choppy UPP.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah, you know.
Val Venus.
Yes.
Your namesake.
Yes. Stop.
No. People don't know why they call you choppy.
They don't? I thought it was.
No, I know why they call you choppy, but. Do you want to elaborate?
All right, so guys, I don't know if anybody knows this. My ethnicity. I'm an athlete.
I make music. Stop whining.
Stop whining. My ethnicity is I am Portuguese. And the slang term for the Portuguese folk, or my brethren, is pork chop. So I took the word pork off and left choppy there, and left chop. So and then I just said, you know what, choppy, fuck it. And that's it.
And it stuck.
And it just stuck. And people just, everybody at my union don't even know me by my first name. They just know me as Choppy. That's fucking great.
Yeah, Mikey didn't know your name until we told him.
And what did he say?
Nothing. You know? What was he going to say? Oh, okay, fuck it.
Okay, fuck it.
No. Yeah, no one, somebody asked me and I was like, I thought you knew. Like, all right, well,
okay, whatever.
Now you know, no one has had the battle.
Suck it.
Well, Taka wins the title. Taka was over big time, like you said.
He was so good. His
and
arsenal.
You mentioned the pops he got, which was cool.
Yes.
The title was practically dead on arrival. Wouldn't be meaningful again until Dean Malenko arrived.
I didn't like the red strap on that belt.
Nah, I wasn't a big fan because they didn't have enough people.
You know who I loved as the light heavyweight champion? Jerry fucking Lynn.
Of course.
Oh my God, he was so good.
All right, so at that point, Jacqueline and Kevin Kelly are hosting the call-in line.
Yeah.
You see, kids, back before the internet, we used phones.
We used phone lines to go on the internet, too.
Don Callis' Jackal gimmick is almost exactly the same as John Morrison's today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so now we'll get into the next match. Los Boricuas.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Against DOA.
I can't do another Boricua's DOA match. These matches are god-awful.
First of all, not for nothing, and I'm a big Savio Mark. I just told you that. All those guys were from IWA, Puerto Rico, right? The one guy needed to fucking shave his back.
Dude, who the fuck is that guy again?
I forget. Miguel, maybe?
Is it Miguel?
I don't know,
Miguel. It looked like Prince Albert's cousin. Miguel Perez.
Who was, all these guys were made guys in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Here's my issue with it, though. They come out to the music, right? I don't have a problem with the music. They gave all these jerk-offs microphones, and they tried singing over the music. It was the... I was horrified. I was horrified 20 years ago, and I was horrified this morning. It was terrible. Here's another thing that pissed me off. I don't like the DOA's faces.
I don't like the DOA at all.
Well, no. Forget about not liking them, but it didn't... This match would have made sense if they didn't, if the crowd didn't cheer for any of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So they put Crush out. So Crush was supposed to, well, he was WCW.
Dude, he was over as fuck for some reason. I don't get it.
Yeah, Crush was sent packing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's injured. No, he's on his way to Atlanta. Love to love you.
I wonder how much they gave him for going to Atlanta.
I don't know, but the Boricuas, Chains eventually tags in, hits a DVD, which, not for nothing. What's his face? Chains.
Primetime Brian Lee.
Brian Lee. He had a nice Death Valley driver.
He did.
I didn't realize how good it was until I saw it.
Dude, he's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Listen, he was great.
He was great in ECW. He was good in...
I thought he was great in TNA. Part of the New Church. Oh my God, he was so good.
Yeah, he was a good hand. He was Fake Taker.
Yeah, He was Fake Taker. Yeah. That's the only good Undertaker.
Remember what... Speaking of takers, remember when that executioner gimmick was going on? You know who that was, right?
That was
Bam Bam Gordy.
Terry Gordy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching that recently.
That was horrible. I feel bad for Terry Bam Bam.
Just seeing him in that mask.
So good. Why the fuck would you put him in that outfit?
Ugh. He had some issues, though, man.
That's
why he was never over. That's why he went to Japan, because he had a fucking attitude problem.
Well, just put this in perspective for a second. You do realize when the feud started with him and the Freebirds and the Von Erichs, you know how old he was? The man was 21 years old. He was super young.
Yeah, because he started when he was 16.
Yeah, man.
Listen, I'm a Terry Gordy mark. You don't have to sell Terry Gordy to me.
He was a baby. So, and then he started very early with all the prescription pills and
alcohol. Yeah.
So, of course, by the time he reached the 90s, he was fucked up. Even though he was in his 30s, he was still he probably was like 50.
The way he was feeling.
Oh my God!
So all right. So the Pericos pick up the win in 8 minutes.
Fuck them.
The Pericos never capitalized on it, bouncing around from until they disappeared in mid 98. So,
good riddance.
All right, they go to the back and they're talking to Butterbean.
Oh, the
who says he's going to clean Mark Merrill's clock because he treats Sable so bad. For those who don't know.
He's a legit.
Yeah, Butterbean. Butterbean was a boxer, a mixed martial artist. He was a kickboxer at 375 pounds. The guy did a ton of shit. He had boxed on a De La Hoya undercard that weekend, and still fought Mark Merrow. Now Mark Merrow, again, a legit boxer,
Golden Gloves champion,
upstate New York, yep. Golden Gloves champion. This fucked me up because I watched it again and I didn't realize how many punches Mark Merrow actually got in.
Yeah.
It was a tough man match. Mark Merrow with Sable. They were doing the whole womanizing gimmick with her. Who cares? Against Butterbean. This is the precursor to the Brawl for It All, if you remember that.
Yes, I do. What a disaster.
8 months later. This was divided into rounds. Four rounds. You know, there's no really... I mean... It's Mark Merrow getting cheap heat, you know.
Yeah, he got the low blow, and that was it.
You know, Butterbean makes a big comeback. Merrow freaks, goes for the low blow for the DQ around 10 minutes. He smashes a stool over Butterbean's head, runs away. Now,
way too long.
First of all, technically, if you were keeping score, Merrow was punching the shit out of him. Butterbean got the shots in, don't get me wrong. But Merrow basically outboxed him. It was like Piper and Mr. T.
Of course.
Like, Piper basically beat Mr. T. Like, because Piper can legit box. Mr. T acted.
Yeah.
You know? It was the same concept. basically.
Well, you got to keep in mind, Marrow was a lot faster than Butterbean because Marrow is, what, 100 pounds lighter?
Correct.
Butterbean's almost 400 pounds.
Correct, correct. So, right.
But the thing is, one shot from Butterbean and you're going to feel it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I didn't realize how many shots Marrow got in.
Yeah, dude, he got a lot.
I didn't realize, so yeah. I watched it again.
He's legit.
I didn't see this fucking pay-per-view in 20 years. So, like, this is one of the things I really didn't watch when I first got the network.
Believe it or not, I saw this pay-per-view this morning and, you know, throughout the day, and then I saw it, like, 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, geez, okay.
So I like to watch this shit all the time.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, he got a lot of shots in, man. He was... But it was an okay bout. It was nothing really...
What's going on in the chat room?
Butterbean knocking Bart Gunn out was... Yeah, WrestleMania 15?
Yeah.
Holy shit. The shot that he got on Bart Gunn, oh my God. Good call, Nick German. And then Shaylin says Butterbean was a tough son of a bitch. And then she didn't know that Terry Gordy was the executioner. See, you learn something new every single day.
That's why you should be listening to us every week.
That's right.
I'll teach you, girl.
Ooh, hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now. Oh my. Hey now.
Don't dream it's over. Now, we go to the back. Dude Love is talking to the folks on AOL. Which is obsolete this year, by the way.
Is it really?
This month, I should say.
Wow.
They're doing away with AOL.
So if you still have your sidekick, forget it. Remember the sidekick?
Dude Love is talking to the good folks on AOL. Sadly, he is the only one-third in character wearing his plaid shirt and a Mankind shirt, but he's Dude Love. Of course, I noticed these things, but, you know, like, I didn't realize it 20 years ago, but...
Yeah, I know.
You know. Okay. So, the next thing made my day, because I forgot about the... I totally forgot about Pink Dust and Luna Vachon. So,
the artist formerly known as Goldust, by the way.
Goldust is dressed in pink and comes out on a leash, and with Luna, who's screaming at her now. Here's the thing. Both really talented guy. Luna Vachon
is so underrated.
Right. She's very underrated. We all know Dustin Rhodes, his body of work. You know, he's...
Former United States champion, former tag team champion for WCW.
IC champ,
tag champion, hardcore champion.
Correct. Anyway, so Pink Dust and Luna come out, and he reads Green Eggs and Ham. And he tells everybody, he wrote, I do not like Green Eggs and Ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. And he talks like this. Jesus Christ.
Frithgo.
Hello. He reads half the book sounding like Kelly from... sounding like Kelly of Shoes fame. Remember Kelly from Shoes? Anyway.
Nope.
And he sounds like, you know, Frisco. You know?
Yeah, of course.
Finally, Luna gets sick of listening to it, yanks his leash.
So stupid.
The next match.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't know?
That
you're asked for to call somebody.
You want to know something?
I love the New Age Outlaws.
I love the New Age Outlaws, but this match with the LOD was so bad.
We talked about...
LOD sucked in 97.
We talked about how depressed I was, how the decline just... Like, they didn't fit in. Hawk was out of shape.
Hawk was way out of shape.
And just more stiff than usual. Like... It just didn't, the promos didn't fit. I was depressed watching this, dude. You know me, I'm an LOD mark.
I know you are.
My favorite tag team. But watching this, like, depressed me. Like, thank God I'm on medication. I would have cut myself. You know? I was beside myself. Because you know what? At the time, you know, I was young. 20 years younger than what I am now, obviously, and I'm like, you would hold out hope. Like, oh man, the LOD, like, just to see them on TV at this point in the game was dope. But the 40-something Phil was like, oh my God, this was really fucking bad.
It was
like,
bad,
it was bad news. You know, and it was depressing. They fought, obviously, Badass Billy Gunn. And the Road Dog, it's just, they were so over at this point. The South Park shirts,
yeah.
And the promo, like, this was the beginning of them giving the Road Dogg the mic and him doing the "You Better Call Somebody." This was right at the very beginning.
Correct.
So, talk about it.
Well, you know, the Road Dogg Jesse James, for I love him. I think that if it wasn't for his drug abuse, I think he would have gone a lot further than what happened to him. I think he was Icy Champ.
Did you watch the thing with JBL that he was on recently?
No, I did not.
The Legend thing?
No, I did not. How was that?
It's funny that you're saying that, because he said this, he said the exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Like, his demons prevented him from going further than he was. And he's in a really good spot now. He's a road agent. He's a booker. He's a writer and all this other
stuff. He's more level-headed now.
Right. But the way he's very articulate.
Yes.
If you get a chance to watch it, please watch it. It's fantastic. It's the best one that he's done with JBL's done since Bruno and Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
I hate JBL, but that was those Legends ones. They're really good.
Road Dogg as the stick guy.
Yeah.
He was great. He wasn't the best worker, but like that's where Billy Gunn came in though. Billy Gunn is the workhorse of the team. He was so goddamn athletic at this time. It was unreal. I liked his... Did you ever see his leg drop from the top of the rope?
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That's, like, fantastic the way he does that.
Yeah.
But I was glad that they won the match.
I'm a Billy Gunn guy.
He's good. Have you seen how he looked? I follow him on Instagram. He is jacked to the gills, dude.
He's on the... You know he's in New Japan, right?
Yes, I know that.
He's on the... He's on that... Him and... What's his face? Yoshitatsu?
Yeah.
They're in that crew, the anti-Bullet Club crew.
Yep. The Billy Gunn man, I feel like he doesn't age.
No.
Does not age.
He's in his mid-50s now. And he's
54?
He's got to be in his mid-50s.
54.
He was on Colt Cabana a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And he was like just talking about this, you know, his run. And his IC title run for me.
Short.
Was one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite IC champions.
And he was just too short.
Right. But if I had like a top 10 IC champions, he's in it.
For his body, I tell you right now, for his body of work in the WWF, he should have been a lot longer he got the belt from Guerrero, and then a month later he drops it to Benoit.
Yeah.
What the fuck sense is that? It's retarded. The series of matches that him and Benoit could have had would have been fantastic. And that never happened, never materialized. I don't know what Vince was thinking at that time.
I agree.
So, yeah, Outlaws win. Next match.
Yeah, nothing really. Henry Godwin runs in with
slop
bucket,
sorry.
Hits Animal.
Yeah.
Hawk steals the bucket, cleans house. They get it's a lean DQ, 10 minutes and change. This would lead to a fairly boring match at the following year, the Rumble in 98.
And then was that when they returned as LOD 2000?
With Sonny before draws and the pusher storyline.
Yeah.
The Outlaws obviously would take off like rockets, and thanks to anal sex jokes and crotch chops, you know.
Yeah. The next match.
All right. Before we get into the boot camp match, let me just play something for you.
Oh, please.
I want to premise this. So, at the time, Sergeant Slaughter was the commissioner of the WWF,
the authority figure, pretty
right,
much.
Yeah. And all the DX would basically torment him.
My favorite.
Well, hold on. They would torment this man.
Loved it.
To the point where it dragged Sarge out of retirement.
Yeah.
And now, Sergeant Slaughter was one of the most feared workers in the business.
Stiff.
Right. And he'd fuck you up. Like, Sarge's no joke.
He would shoot.
His early stuff, like his early WWF stuff with Patterson, and then his AWA stuff.
I love this match with Patterson.
Yeah, Street Fight. Oh, it's on God. The Best of the Garden DVD. Mm-hmm. I have it. It's good. But you didn't fuck with Sarge, man.
Hell no.
He was no joke.
He was legit.
He was even on G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was a special action figure you had to mail away.
Yep.
For the proofs of purchase.
Did you have it?
Of course I did.
I know you did.
Of course I did. And I waited 6 to 8 weeks for it, too.
And when those 6 to 8 weeks passed by, you're like, Sergeant Slaughter!
Every day in the envelope. Yes! Get out! It's like Santa Claus!
Santa Claus!
So, on this particular night, this broke the straw that broke the camel's back was this particular clip, and I'll play about a minute and a half of it. So,
asking for a match with Shamrock.
Let me get this straight, HBK. You want Ken Shamrock in a match here next week on Raw?
Hold on.
What? Give.
You'll do anything, you humiliate anyone.
Let me get this straight again. You want Ken Shamrock here next week?
Hold on, this isn't working.
This was hysterical.
What are these two degenerates up to now?
It's a sophomore class field trip.
Love it.
It's a sophomore class field trip.
Love it.
Putting Wheelchair White was on facial shields.
Fantastic.
They're a riot, Jim Ross says.
I remember guys like you at boot camp, real cute. But we had ways to straighten them out. Let me tell you, you want Ken Shamrock next week right here on Raw? Well, there's one stipulation. You aren't going to wrestle Ken Shamrock, but it's going to be tonight right here on the Blue Zone.
Uh-oh. I don't think that's what they had in mind.
No, they definitely didn't have that in mind, I can tell you that. They did not have it in mind because here Michaels, in the match of his life this Sunday against Bret the Hitman Hart, the match of his life, this is the last thing he would want.
So this was right before Survivor Series.
Correct.
But right after this, they ambush him and beat the shit out of him.
Big time.
Hence, because I think, honestly, if Michaels didn't have a title match that on his card, he would have fought Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was the instigator. Triple H was just a fucking lackey at this point. But he got Triple H in the street in a boot camp match, and they beat the shit out of him and brought him out of retirement. So, was that what you would...
That was the exact thing I was thinking about. Yep.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I mean, and just for the record, I didn't tell Choppy I had the clip.
He didn't.
I just told him I was playing
the clip. He
surprised
me with that.
So, all right.
My favorite part, even prior to that, remember when HBK had the European title?
Yeah.
And he's just like blowing his tongue, and he would bring out his belt and then go. And he's like, "All right, Sarge, I'll start showing you some respect. Suck it.
Suck it." Sergeant Slaughter looked and acted like a drill sergeant, had a Superman chin, and would choke you out in a heartbeat.
Dude, that Cobra Clutch.
That Cobra Clutch was phenomenal. And you know what? Again, this is... Dave and I did a the Final Conflict with him and Don Quixote.
Against
Jay Youngblood
and Ricky Steamboat. In that cage match?
We had the entire... All the promos.
Yeah. I remember that.
One of our best episodes. Go back and get that. It was really good. We're Sergeant Slaughter fans here on Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
He's a true throwback.
He's definitely a throwback. So this is a boot camp match. Basically, no DQ. What a boot camp match is.
I had a little bit of a problem with this match. Because...
Wait, no, I know why you had a problem with it. I didn't mean to cut you off, but... Because you had Kurt Angle's music, right?
No, not even that.
Okay.
I didn't like the fact that... I understand that Sergeant Slaughter had a legitimate beef, like a beef with Triple H at this point. I didn't like the fact that he was constantly beating the shit out of Triple H at the beginning of the match, like really for a long time.
Dude, they made fun of his lisp, his age, his mustache, his hairline, his wife, his height.
But here's my problem. My problem was
his penis size, his gimmick, his man boobs.
I know.
They fucking abused him, and then he beat him up.
But here's the thing. My problem was that at a certain point of the match, Triple H was getting sympathy from the crowd.
Yeah.
And then when he started making his comeback, people were cheering him. He shouldn't be cheered. He's the heel.
Yeah, it wasn't a good match.
It was an okay match. I was just like really pissed. I was like, man, what the fuck's Slaughter doing? You're the veteran. You should be letting him beat the fuck out of you in this match so you can gain some sympathy from the people.
Well, Triple H had an insurance policy.
Oh, I mean.
In China.
China, of course.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for China, I don't think this match would have been as good as it was.
Yeah, she basically, her interference saves the match.
Yeah. But
he takes a boot upside his head, comes back and applies the Cobra Clutch. China sneaks back.
Kicks him right in the nuts.
Low blows him. And Triple H has the pedigree on a chair.
A shitty pedigree, by the way.
Yeah, it was shitty because it was rushed, and it was almost 18 minutes, though.
It was a long match.
It was a long match.
I liked the match. I don't think it was the best match out there. And keep in mind, they kept saying this throughout the match. Slaughter was 49 years old at the time, and he wasn't in the best shape at all. But it was still a fairly good match. I was okay with it.
Yeah. So now we go to Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, good fucking God.
Who predicts a world title in his future.
He came close to being my fuck you wrestler of the week.
The meaningless NWA title. The meaningless WCW title. The meaningless NWA heavyweight title again.
When did he get the when does he win the NWA North American heavyweight title? And then he has like the NWA invasion.
When does
that happen? Is that like next month or something?
Yeah.
What a shit show that was.
So he fights Undertaker. This is the who booked this fucking crap?
Yeah, seriously, match. Why?
This was Jarrett's much hyped return to the E after a run as a horseman in WCW. Yeah,
I know.
As Choppy puts the four fingers up, one just go to punch him in his face.
I fucking hate it.
Every time Choppy does the four horseman symbol, I want to punch a baby because I know he's doing it for the bad horseman.
Like, I fucking hated Jeff Jarrett. I really did.
Yeah. So, this was a terrible match. Kane saves the match.
I know, and he gets...
You know what bothers me? This could have been a good match, because both guys can work. Like, Jarrett's not a bad wrestler.
I never thought Jarrett was a great wrestler.
He wasn't great. He can work, though. He's not terrible. He's serviceable.
He was not that good.
I think people don't give him enough credit, because he was in some pretty shitty, you know... He had like a Daniel Bryan, couple of shitty Daniel Bryan runs. Like, you know how Daniel Bryan was champion and he got a couple runs? This had the potential of being really good, and it just wasn't because of the time and place, I guess. However, Kane saves the match.
Pretty much
saves the match. The lights go out, the whole 9 yards.
Choke slams Jeff Jarrett, because Jeff Jarrett's just like, get him! And then he's just like, you know, fuck you! And he choke slams Jarrett, and then he... cost his brother the match, and, you know, Jeff Jarrett wins by DQ.
Yeah, it wasn't a good match. It was like, I don't know. Taker should have had a different match. You know, he should have...
Maybe not even...
Taker should have fought Triple H.
That would have been a great match.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have made sense at that point, because Triple H wasn't that over yet.
He was over, but not...
Not yet.
As over.
No, this was the beginning. Dude, this was... I'm telling you, the end of 97 was the new remember how you used to call it the new generation?
Yes.
Back in the mid-90s? This was the new generation of WWE, WWF. Yeah. This was the, we have to compete, and now they're making stars. Triple H was being made. Yeah, for sure. So Mark Henry's in the crowd.
And yeah, they want to get his opinion on who's going to win against Austin and The Rock. And he was like, oh, Stone Cold. Stone Cold's my man.
Earning his 10-year contract.
Yeah, dude.
He was hyped.
I can't believe they signed him for 10 years, bro.
Job security. Still around. Think about it.
I mean, well, now he's like an ambassador for the company now.
Still around. 20 years later.
When did he get signed? In 96?
Yeah, at the Olympics.
21 years
later. Wow. Listen, man. I'm sorry, but if you can have a job like that for 20 years, like, you know what I'm saying?
His Hall of Pain.
Yeah.
That run was fucking great.
You know, me and Mish from Wrestling Soup had a conversation about that. Because Mish brought it up on his show and got shit for it. And I tried to call in.
Why?
I don't know. I just remember, like, the Soup guys, the Soup fans, some of the Soup fans, giving him shit. And me and him were talking one day, and I was like, dude. I totally agree with you. That the Hall of Pain.
That was a great gimmick.
The shirt was dope. The fucking gimmick was dope.
I think he would have been a longer champion if he didn't get injured. Because he got injured during that time period.
Well, when you're 400 pounds and you power lift, you're bound to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm a Mark Henry guy. I never was,
but when he did that Hall of Pain thing, I loved it.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like, the stuff with China was awesome. When he tried to fucking swoon China.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. The stuff with Mae Young was awful with the hand. That was terrible.
I like this tag team with D'Lo.
Correct.
That was great.
Correct. I was huge. And then they gave him, like, title matches against Daniel Bryan. That killed me. Because poor Daniel Bryan was, and this is just going back to Daniel Bryan having really bad, shitty title matches, and he had those bad runs. So, anyway, getting back to this card, the Intercontinental Championship.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was his champion, but he had the belt stolen from The Rock.
Correct, and The Rock was still with The Nation. This is kind of an offshoot from an earlier mini feud involving Austin, Owen Hart, and Farouk over the IC title. Austin drives his black 316 truck down the aisle.
That was dope.
And attacks the Rock. The Nation puts the boots to him. Austin picks them off one by one. D'Lo gets backdropped onto the windshield. Takes a stunner.
Oh, the stunner on the pickup was fucking great.
So now it's just a slugfest at this point.
By the way, did the bell ever ring?
I don't remember. I think so, yeah.
I don't remember, man.
Kama tries to do a chair shot, but he knocks out Farouk instead. Right?
Yes.
The ref gets distracted. The Rock goes low, gets the people's elbow, gets a two. Tries it again without the elbow pad, but Austin avoids it. Stops short on a stunner attempt. Goes after Kama. The ref spins around, so Austin stuns the ref.
That I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Right, he stuns the ref. Then Rock grabs brass knucks, and then Austin stuns him. The new ref comes in, counts to three. Austin gets the win at 5.5 minutes. Austin would be stripped of the title and then is tossed in the river.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
Rather than hand it to The Rock. This match was like a, you know, it was like a Reader's Digest condensed version of their best matches. This was the start. Again, these were so many beginnings for this pay-per-view. Had so many beginnings. The next night on Raw, which was fucked up, Vince made him defend the title.
Yes.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
It was fucked up because Vince had a hard-on for him because he was, you know. There was a commercial in between the pay-per-view with the action figures. And Austin's got his figure. Yeah. And he goes, "You want to kick some ass? I knew you wanted to. Come here, Vince." He goes, "I knew you would." My favorite. Yeah. So, you know, wasn't a bad match, though, the IC title match.
No, you know what it was? I understand why it was short. It's just due to the fact that Austin was still injured. You got to keep in mind, people, this guy is, they were trying to protect him.
Yeah, well, after the whole Owen Hart thing.
But Vince was trying to protect him for, like, the longest to make sure that he got the WWF title at WrestleMania. So his matches had to be short and sweet to get him to the golden prize, which was the WWF title. And then eventually, that's when his matches were started getting longer. Most of his matches were all slugfests.
Correct.
Which was fine.
Correct. I'll tell you this. Watching this match today, again, made me realize how much fun I had watching these two guys fight. They set the precedent for this new run I was telling, like I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Both guys destined. You knew it. Like
they had so much chemistry.
The characters evolved.
Like especially The Rock.
The Rock was, and listen, The Rock wasn't one of my favorite wrestlers either. Like he was good.
He was a very good worker.
He was good, but he was far from my favorite until he became world champion, and then I realized like wow they knew they had something in him. You know what I'm saying with the blue chipper Rocky Maivia. But you knew Austin, man. Austin was like gangbusters, dude. Like, you listen, to this day, I think he sold more shirts than Hogan.
He did. Of course he did.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
The
pay-per-view buys were just
correct.
Way high.
Listen, Vince, first of all, say what you want about Bret Hart, and I'm not the biggest Bret Hart guy. Bret leaving, Bret being champion was good for the company because it set up everybody else. If Bret would have stayed, there would have been more to do with him. I'm a firm believer of that. Obviously, the money wasn't there. The screw job. I don't want to rehash it, but if now he leaves, it opens up spots for everybody else, and everybody got their turn. Rock, Austin, Foley, Taker, Kane, all these guys, Triple H, Michaels. If Michaels didn't get hurt, he would have been right in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys got their run because of Bret Hart.
Yep.
Basically. And WCW. So, like, it brought me back to a really good time, man. I loved the Monday Night Wars, the late 90s. Mix that with ECW. It was a good time to be a fan.
Oh, yeah.
But this was this set the tone. I think this pay-per-view set the tone for the next 3 years for the company.
Mm-hmm.
You could say what you want about the screw job. You could say what you want about SummerSlam, which was great. This particular pay-per-view told the story of Rock, Austin, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, not Taker, sadly, New Age Outlaws.
Kane.
So, and Mick Foley.
And Foley.
So, get to the main event. I want to premise this, and I want to talk about Ken Shamrock for a minute.
Yeah, of course.
And Don Tony mentioned this too about 2 weeks ago. Why is he not mentioned enough? I know there's no heat with the company, but he was such a prolific guy for this. Another guy that could have stayed around and could have been like a Kurt Angle.
Could have.
Right? I never understood the breakup. Like, he mentioned to them he wanted to come back. Nothing. Like, he openly called them and said, yo, I want to, you know, when Rock was doing it, they'd come back, and Hogan made his comeback. Shamrock was ready, and he was still fighting MMA, and they were like, nah. Like, I want to know what went on with them that they didn't bring him back, because he was a good hand. Shamrock picked up the game quicker than a lot of veteran guys did. He wasn't wrestling for very long, and they fucking put the rocket ship to him and made him IC champ and could have been world champion. I think he could have been not a great champion, a run-of-the-mill, like almost like a transitional champion where you put the belt on him and make him a face and have some huge heel kill him. And, you know, like almost like how can I make a comparison? I guess when Pedro Morales or Bruno Sammartino would lose a title to like Stasiak or something like that, or
Ivan
Koloff.
Yeah.
That kind of guy. Like, get it right back to him. But I don't. Ken Shamrock was a good hand.
He was super over with the crowd.
Yes.
Very over. I don't understand the heat that he has with the E. I thought he left on good terms. He just wanted to go do something else after his contract was up. I mean, he signed in 96. He left in 99. Like you said, he had some pretty good feuds. He was the IC champ. He was tag team champion with Big Boss Man. I never understood the why he hasn't been in the Hall of Fame yet. I don't get it.
Like, you don't even hear about him.
You know, they don't talk about him. I don't know if it's because he only had like a 3 year run, but even so, Lesnar had a 2 year run.
Yeah, guys have been there for a cup of coffee and they get talked about all the time.
Yeah, I don't know
what. And Don Tony mentioned it, and when he mentioned it, I had to go back and look, and I'm like, dude, he's right. Like, what happened to Ken Shamrock?
I don't know. His feud with Owen Hart in 98 was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
Yeah.
His feud with Blackman in 99 was fantastic. He's had some really good feuds. I don't understand what was the issue with him not wanting them back, or why hasn't he been put in the Hall of Fame? He's a really good worker. He was great with the fans. I don't get it.
All right, so the inside rumor was that Shawn Michaels sabotaged Shamrock's push for a number of reasons. Apparently, this includes asking Ken Shamrock to call his spots louder because wrestlers were complaining they couldn't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Vince and saying Shamrock couldn't work because he couldn't call spots.
I kind of agree with that because he's still fairly new.
See, but here's what pisses me off. If that's true, right? it's kind of like in my business, what I do for a living. We're pretty self-contained in my department. Like, if I have a problem with my coworker, before I go to a boss, I'll pull the person aside and be like, yo, what's going on? Are you okay? You're fucking up. Something we can do? Let's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that you can avoid. When you're acting, I could see what my wife's friends do when they do all their theater stuff. If there's an internal beef, you pull the kid to the side and be like, yo, do you not know your lines? Can I spot you? Like, if Sean was being a dick about it, and he's known for, he's had a reputation of being a fucking asshole.
He was a dick.
If that's the case, then that's terrible. Because, you know, it should have been like, Shamrock could have been the big baby face of 98. Rather than Austin. Because you could have kept Austin as a tweener or a heel.
Yeah.
Not losing momentum. And I'm telling you, man, Shamrock could have been the guy.
I think they could have gotten one more match out of Shamrock at the Royal Rumble, because he gets the DQ in this match because of Triple H interfering.
But the ending was awesome.
Fantastic. And then I thought, you know, at the time I thought, oh, maybe Shamrock's going to get another title match at Rome. But then they give it to fucking Undertaker again. I'm like, what the fuck is the point?
Well, that's because that's just the, you know how that goes. They would just, those five or six guys I mentioned before, they were just like, okay, it's your turn. But I believe that something happened with him, which with Shamrock, and I think Shawn Michaels had something to do with it. I feel like if that's the case, and you didn't, instead of going to Vince, pull the fucking guy to his side. I mean, you're a veteran. Like, you're the top dog, right? You're the fucking champion, man. They put the belt back on you because of what happened with Brett. With the confidence of you carrying the company as a fucking heel, and they were getting over as heels. They were more popular, as popular as heels than Austin was.
Yeah.
So, again, these are just things that I think about sometimes when I apply myself, when I put more of, because again, you look back on shit like this and you're like, man, knowing what you know now, you know, as with the internet and doing the show,
hindsight,
20 years ago, we didn't know that he wasn't calling spots. We didn't even know Sean was an asshole until the screw job. You knew that only a couple of years later.
Yeah.
And even when they had the reunion and him and Sean had the interview, you're like, Sean basically played it off like he didn't know anything and I'm a good Christian now. And listen, I call a spade a spade. You can be an asshole and redeem yourself. But if you don't admit that you're an asshole and just play it off like you didn't have no clue what was going on, not even with the screw job, just with the business in general. And I understand guys had their spots because they were listen. Everybody was like, it was like the OK Corral. It was a shootout. These guys were like, oh my God, WCW is taking over. We got to step our game up, or else we're gonna lose our spots. And guys were afraid to lose their spots, and that's been known. Guys have said that for 20 years now.
Oh yeah,
JBL said it with the Road Dogg. We were afraid to lose our job. We didn't know what was going on. Like, and you didn't know what was going on. Because from week to week, it was like, what are we going to do? You know, they're winning. We got to win. And then fate happened. Sean hurts himself and opens up another door for Triple H,
yep,
for Mick Foley, for Taker, for Rock, for Austin.
It's funny, though, because Brett leaves and then all these other guys get opportunities. And Sean leaves. And then a whole influx of other guys get opportunities to move up.
Right.
I still think if Sean didn't get hurt, you wouldn't have had X-Pac coming in.
Right.
Right the night after WrestleMania.
Right.
So, it was good.
So, we're in agreement that, you know, that Shawn Michaels basically was in this placeholder feud with Ken Shamrock.
Of course.
Because of politics,
mm-hmm,
you know, and nobody's being held accountable because, you know, politics prevent accountability all the time. You know how that goes.
I mean, he's, you know what it is? I understand why Shawn did what he did, because he, let's face it, he wanted to be the champ. He wanted to get make the most money, which is fine. He's not the only one who's done that. The problem is that he never admitted that he was a, you know, a dick at that time, because now, he, like you said, he's a good Christian, but whatever. You got to keep in mind, Austin did it. He politicked. Let's not forget, he politicked. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard stories of him holding down Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And Chris Benoit, because he felt that they were not ready.
Right.
And it was just ridiculous. I mean, come on. And then I'm pretty sure Hogan did it for sure. Hogan, hands down, did it as well.
Hogan did it because I think they allowed him to do it.
Of course.
He got not for nothing. And this probably didn't happen again until now. At this age, Hogan got bigger than the business.
He did.
So it's almost like a Hollywood act. It's like yeah. Telling Al Pacino, no, you know, you can't play that shitty role. No, I'm Al Pacino. I'll play whatever fucking role I want. No, Hulk, you know, we're going to put Orndorff over. No, you're not. Are we going to give Bundy the title? No. The only guy at that point that had any say over him was Andre. And Andre had the foresight. Andre was sick. He was getting older. He saw Hogan. He saw the business changing. And that was it. There was no passing of the torch here because guys were afraid to lose their job.
Correct.
It was a totally different mindset.
Oh, yeah.
So the ending of this match was dope. I thought it was. Shamrock hits Shawn improvises with his own Hurricane Carana, and then Shamrock counters it with a power bomb.
That was a sick power bomb.
It was. For the two, and the ref almost hit three on
him. Yeah, I know. You saw that? Oh, yep. Man.
So then Hunter and China put the boots to him, and Shawn distracts the ref. Shawn comes back with the usual, you know, the sweet chin music. Shamrock ducks it and applies the ankle lock. That brings in China and Hunter.
Yeah, which leads to the DQ.
Leads to the DQ at 18 minutes and 30 seconds.
It was a good match.
Yeah. But wait.
Yeah, I know.
Owen Hart in street clothes comes out of nowhere.
I didn't know who the fuck it was.
No one knew who it was.
At that time?
No. He was the hood on, sweatsuit, yeah. The whole nine yards.
I didn't know who the fuck it was.
He was in the crowd. That was awesome. Owen Hart makes one of the most shocking returns in history. Jumps Shawn from behind. He breaks Shawn's nose. If a little known fact, yeah. If you didn't know that, tries to poke his eyes out before Hunter makes a save. Shawn versus Owen would have been huge money, but Taker got the match, like Choppy said, instead of while Owen was demoted to Triple H.
Yeah.
Again, weird booking, but understandable. Now, looking back on it now, I understand why. They don't, and that's why I tell people that. That we, as podcasters, as better fans, we sometimes put dead wrestlers on pedestals. If Owen Hart was as big as everybody says he was supposed to be, he would have had that match with Shawn Michaels. I'm not saying Owen Hart was a bad hand. Owen Hart was fantastic. He was a great wrestler. I wouldn't say he was one of the greatest. But if he was that good, he wouldn't have been fighting Triple H. Now, is it... Now you're comparing him to Taker. In this instance, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, if that was the case, making that kind of return, like, why not have that match? Why that match never happened is beyond me. After what happened with Brett,
yeah,
it would have made perfect sense. He just wrote a story right there.
Yeah.
My brother got dicked over by you. You know. Now I'm the better heart.
Oh, wow, look at this. Nick German says, in the ring, I think Owen was better than Brett.
Their match, when he beat Brett, was one of the best matches
I've ever seen. WrestleMania 10? Oh, yeah. My God, that match was so good.
One of the best matches I've ever seen. One of the best WrestleMania matches I've ever seen.
His match with Brett at SummerSlam in the cage? That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
I don't think he's better than Brett. I think he was more...
I think he was a better talker.
He was better hybrid, because Brett didn't do any of the high-flying shit. Brett didn't do any of the, you know what I'm saying? Brett didn't leave the second turnbuckle. You know what I'm saying? He was ground and pound. He was more of a tactician. Owen Hart was a hybrid.
He did everything.
Right, exactly. But I don't think he was better than
Shay Lynn, I'm sorry. She's saying that he deserved a world title run. I don't know.
See, that this is what I'm...
In 1999, did any... Like, okay, let's be realistic. Before he passed away in 99, did anyone really think he was going to get the belt?
Only when he died, that pedestal. Like, he was one of the greatest ever. I'm sorry, man. He wasn't.
I thought he was going to get the belt in 94 with that feud with Brett.
Well, yeah, because he was on a tear.
Oh, dude,
and he beat Brett.
And he was on a roll, man.
And he beat Brett.
At that time, I thought he was going to get the belt, but like in '99, really, as the Blue Blazer, no, he was not going to get the belt. No, I'm sorry, he was good, but he was not good enough to be the world champion.
No, I'm sorry, and I get shit for this every year. Like I'm sorry, I'm convinced
in
that
in '96 when he knocked out Shawn Michaels. That remember how he. "Quote unquote," knocked out Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels had to be taken out in a stretcher.
Yeah,
everyone thought that he was going to get the belt at that time, and that didn't happen either. I mean, like you said, if he was that good, he would have gotten more main event matches with people.
Yeah, and you said he can talk. Like
he was a good talker. I thought he was good.
Right. So I don't, you know, and if he was that good, he would have got Shawn instead of Taker.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind those two have had some really good matches.
I'm just keeping it real, man. When you look back at it, it didn't. It still doesn't make sense to me.
Sorry. It's the politics of the business.
That's it, man. That's basically it. Overall, it wasn't a bad.
It wasn't pay-per-view. Bad. It wasn't good. It was. I would give it like a 6 out of 10.
Six? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're being generous. I was going to give it like a 5.
Give it a 6.
Yeah, I was like halfway there.
I liked the Austin match. I liked the Triple H match. I liked the Shawn match. I liked the light heavyweight title match.
Yeah.
It was just a couple of things that I didn't care for, like the LOD. Fuck them.
Speaking of the light heavyweights, the next night on Raw, Jim Cornette brings out both Taka and there was some masked wrestler. They called him Unico, and it was really Brian Christopher in a mask. Jerry Lawler comes in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Jerry Lawler's like, oh, you guys are both going to fight me? And it winds up being Brian Christopher. Yeah. It was pretty funny. I enjoyed that.
You know what? You know what was the worst thing about that whole Jeff Jarrett run in 97? When they brought in, you know, the NWA guys?
Yeah.
Bombastic Bart and Bodacious Bob?
Yeah.
Remember that shit? The new Midnight Express?
The new Midnight Express,
oh, my
yeah.
God. They were NWA Tag Team Champions, by the way.
They were.
Jesus Christ.
They were.
What about that dye job from Bob Holly?
Don't get me started. Sparky Plug.
Yeah.
Sparky Plug.
Spark Plug Holly.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's it, man.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much.
Yeah, no. It was good. Anything else you want to add before we go?
I like pizza.
I love pizza.
So do I.
But I've been eating too much of it lately. Like, between ordering it here and then I had going to the wake and the funeral, and every time I went to somebody else's house, they ordered pizza. I was like, and then, you know, I went to the old neighborhood and got pizza from the old neighborhood.
Sometimes you get pizza'd out after a while.
Yeah, that's why, because Michael said tonight, he's like, oh, can we get pizza? I'm like, no, we're getting wings tonight. You see, I just can't. I'm take a break from pizza. So, anyway. But yeah, I like pizza too.
Yeah.
And cheese makes me poop.
Ooh. Stop.
Yes. All right. Let's start wrapping this up.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Let's get out of here. All right.
What tunes do you have this time?
John Lennon died same day Dimebag did, but he died 30-something years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to play some John Lennon for you.
Yay.
Yeah. No, like John, it's a good song.
I think I'm not a Beatles guy.
No, I think John Lennon was one of those guys that...
Yeah.
Like, if he would have stayed alive...
He was iconic.
He was very... His solo shit was amazing. His wife was fucking batshit crazy, though. She still is.
Oko?
Yoko Oko?
Yoko Oko Ono?
Iko Iko?
Iko Iko Pro?
Iko Pro, you gotta want it. You gotta want it.
I remember that.
All right, so... I want to thank everybody in the chat room for hanging out with us. Everybody on TuneIn.
I would like to apologize to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, please.
I apologize.
Fucking Nimrod. Oh. Anyway. Yeah, so again, next week, final battle. You get a filatorial.
Mm-hmm.
Get on Christmas special.
Mm.
A couple of good weeks got coming up.
Yeah.
We'll see all the boys next week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Take over in January. Nick German's getting an ass kicking.
Oh, he is.
You and Mega Power are going to beat up on him, huh?
We're going to beat the fuck out of that guy.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's pretty much it, man. Just a quick recap of all our good stuff. Go to TopicalThrowbacks.com. Support all our friends.
Yes.
Happy belated birthday to V-Dog from Post-Match Podcast.
See.
And Sonny.
Yes.
Had a birthday this week. And today, our brother Stickman from Canada.
Yeah, Apex. Yeah.
Happy birthday from Apex. We love you. That's pretty much it. Go to TerminalThrowbacks.com. This Sunday on The Rant, you got Surfer's comic book show. He'll bore you to death. No, I'm joking.
No, he won't.
I love Surfer. Monday, we have the Sports Report. Tuesday is The Wizards and The Rant. Thursday is Rant and Wrestling. Of course, we're back in on Friday.
Yeah.
Shining Wizards Network. All wonderful programming. There. Go. There's a ton of stuff over there now. Go get it. It's all free. You want to email us, it's TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks, @Choppy294. Instagram, @TurnbuckleThrowbacks.
And, yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We're doing good with that.
Yeah. I love the post by Mega Powers.
Yeah,
they're great.
Thank you, Dave, again. And that's pretty much it, man. I have nothing else.
That's it.
That's it, really. So on behalf of my tag team partner, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word, the A-word, the R-word. Don't diss Puerto Rico, Choppy.
Sorry.
You fucking savage.
Sorry.
And just be good human beings, man.
Be good like me.
Yeah, be good like you. Not. Stay safe and stay humble. And God bless. We'll see you guys next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.